Welcome to Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon, a production of iHeartRadio. Sports fans, golf fans, or just fans, welcome to Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon. Max, it's 2021. I've been living on an air mattress for 8 days. My family gets here tonight. These are all really good things in my life. How are you?
The air mattress is a good thing. That was like a brag.
I've gotten a little used to it, you know, and I'm getting up a little earlier, so I'm having to get things done. But it's weird when you couple no furniture with no family and nothing really to do for 3 days. I might talk a lot on this episode, even more than normal. So prepare.
How's it been working with Damon?
So we did rehearsals last week, and what Max is talking about, for people that don't know, Golf Today is the new show that I'm going to be on Golf Channel. It debuts on Monday at noon Eastern. Now, I'm not typically going to be on the Monday shows, but I will be on this Monday one. And then Damon and I get going on Wednesday. The rehearsals have been amazing, dude. The first rehearsal we did, Damon and I did an hour and a half. You know, I mean, it was scripted out in terms of what we were going to talk about, but it was an hour and a half of us just kind of rattling off golf stuff and talking and having a lot of fun. And so I think everybody walked out of that pretty excited about, what we can do with this show and what we're excited to do with it. And, Damon is as good a dude as you'll come across on this planet. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun. But, you know, we had this holiday break. So we had rehearsal days and then New Year's Eve hits and just been hanging on the air mattress, Max, you know, that's my couch as well. So it's a bed and a couch. And also, it's just kind of the part in the middle. It's in my living room too. It's behind the screen you're looking at right now. It's not even in the bedroom.
Yeah, you have like the old Friends thing when Joey wanted to buy a gift that was two things, like it's a pen and a watch or and a clock. We and when I say we, I mean myself and our friendly Twitter following appreciated you having the Get a Grip sticker in your picture on set the first day.
I would say I didn't, you know, I got the best reply, and I forget who sent it, but they had the side by side of when Phil had the coffee for wellness glass down on the green during that event. And I thought that was the best reply. I didn't mean to do it. I'd love to say I was trying to slam some marketing right out there in the picture when we got it going, but it was just front and center. You know, I mean, it's just a great sticker, Max. It's easy to see, but yeah, it was nice. That's going to be a fairly liked picture of mine for social media. So we got the sticker in there. Unfortunately, I think we're out of Get a Grip stickers. So, I can't send you anybody that asks us.
In doing research for this podcast about Golf Today, obviously the show that, Shane just mentioned, I was looking through, we were setting up my DVR as everyone else should to tape it when it comes out. And you guys don't have a thumbnail picture yet, which I feel like I think once you have the picture, I'll believe it. Like, I feel like right now I was like, is this them? Like, is it like, there was no confirmation. It could have just been another show called Golf Today. Like, there's another Get a Grip podcast out there. And Lace and I decided that you need to prove it with the thumbnail picture.
What if I'm not in the photo they choose, though? What if it's just a generic?
Then we revolt.
Oh, wow. Then we revolt. That's set you off. It's just simply the avatar that goes with the show. Okay, I'll make that. I'll put that in the notes. Max, can I throw a few pros of being on the East Coast at you?
I need to bring up one more thing about the show, just real quick. In my extensive other portion of the research.
How many minutes of research?
Many minutes, but I got stuck on this one because I was like, I was wondering if it was easier to do like the golf or to DVR it, or if I could get like golf pass. I don't know if I had golf pass. I don't have golf pass. I don't think I'm going to get it, but, it has all the shows, and podcasts and stuff gone through, the Golf Channel. And, it says, here, get golf pass. You can watch your favorite pro golfers, Tiger, Rory, and Shane. I truly think that they might mean Shane Lowry, but I don't know who they're talking about. And it made me think, I guess my brain's more messed up, made me think like they were putting you, Tiger, and Rory in the same thought. Wow.
So you don't think I'm there? Is that, it doesn't make, you're saying that doesn't make sense? You don't feel like I need to be included with Rory and Tiger?
I think you need to be, yes. I just don't think that they did it on,
I got you,
intentionally, but I was very confused, but that was cool. So you said that there's not a long list, but there is a list of things that the East Coast has that's better than the West Coast?
So you and I are, I would say you and I are West Coast people. I mean, obviously you grew up there. I grew up in Texas, but I've lived out there for a long, long time. And there's a lot of pros on living on the West Coast. We could go through that one day. We're not going to do it now. Pros of being on the East Coast, I've found. Number one, and this is for you, I think you'll appreciate this. It is quite amazing when they say a football game's on at 8 p.m. and it's on at 8 p.m. your time. You don't have to do math. That math of time zones that I've had to do most of my life, all but 11 months of my life, is gone. I never have to subtract. I never have to figure out, especially you and I live in Arizona where we're on two time zones depending on the year. Sometimes you're taking 2 hours off. Sometimes you're taking three. A lot of the times you don't exactly know where you're at. So that's great. I mean, the new, that, you know, of course I was in my, on my air mattress for New Year's Eve for most of the night. It was a lot of fun, but the, like the Rockin' New Year's Eve thing was actually live. It wasn't live to tape, you know? I mean, that show was on my
You actually watched
zone.
It, yeah.
I watched a little bit of it. Anderson Cooper was having some shots. It was actually mildly entertaining, a show we should probably do at some point.
I think Andy Cohen, wasn't he smashed and was trying to get Cooper to do like acid or something crazy? I saw some clip. Andy Cohen was hammered. Like, and Anderson Cooper was like shaking his head like, you got to, you know, drink a water, sneak it in.
What an amazing concept to think that these two massively successful people just say, hey, we'll do the show on New Year's Eve, but we're going to booze the entire time during the show. Is everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
I think that was an interesting pitch by their people.
That's a winner.
Also, a lot closer to Europe. Now, can't really travel to Europe, which, you know, kind of negates the positive. But I am a lot closer to Europe, and Cindy and I have already circled, you know, maybe an Iceland trip. You know, I mean, it takes me 2 days now to get, to get to Hawaii, but I'm as close to flying to Iceland as I am to fly to you, bro.
No one's bragged about that before. That's not it's not on the pro side of his pros and cons.
Wait a minute. You would prefer to fly 8 hours a year versus 4.5? Is that what you're saying?
When are you going to Europe, Shane?
I mean, not right now, but maybe at some point, I mean, you know, 2022, 2023, I'm out here for a while. It's like, maybe I'll hop on over, you know, I want to go play golf. Maybe you're in the open. How about this? Let's just say,
well, no, here's the deal, Shane, is I won't go to the open because I live too far away all the way here on the West Coast.
You're gonna pull a Ryan Moore and just not go.
Why would I? It's too far. 4 more hours of flying.
So if you by chance were leading the open by 4, come Sunday, I could have a realistic conversation with myself about flying over. Like, I'll fly over. It's quick. It's just a jaunt. You know, I flew. I was living in Scotland.
What is the time parameters for jaunt versus like a full trip?
So I was living in Scotland when I was over there after college, and I was dating a girl, and she took an internship in New York City. I flew to see her for a weekend and didn't check a bag, and the people in the Edinburgh airport were really, really thrilled.
I'd have been a little nervous.
Yeah,
you are a suspect character at that point.
So, you know, you don't have to check a bag if you live on the East Coast and you want to fly to Europe. That's also a thing. I get to wear a lot of my sweatshirts, like the one I'm wearing right now, my Dennis Rodman sweatshirt. I purchase a lot of sweatshirts. I lived in Arizona for a long time. Those two things don't really mix. So I've been able to kind of rock a lot of my sweatshirts over the last few days. And you know what? Nobody says anything, rarely even get any acknowledgement by people you walk by, but just the fact that I feel good about the sweatshirts I'm wearing is a positive. Or do you have a critique on that?
No, I'm a big sweatshirt guy. So I mean, I'm cool. That's a good one. So I guess your list consists of two legitimate things to me. One of which is you're allowed to wear a hoodie.
It's not allowed. It's just that I can.
You can. Yeah.
It's weird to wear a hoodie when it's 72. You know what I'm saying? My last one. Now, Connecticut is known for its pizza. Do you know this?
Yeah, New Haven or something.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of the areas have the staples, and I was told to go to one, and I went with my dad when we first got here. It was awesome. Well, my buddy Matt Norlander, who does a great job writing hoops at CBS Sports, sent me a DM and said, everybody's going to say this one place to go. Go to Hope Street Pizza in Stanford. I got it to go the other day, Max. I know you're not a big pizza person because a ton of cheese. Top three pizza, man, like of my life, maybe top two. So
there's another benefit.
So there you go. How have you been? What have you been doing?
Nothing, man. Getting ready for the season. Thinking of questions to bring up for this podcast. I did not realize we would be so East Coast heavy, pizza heavy, Europe heavy on this podcast. You asked me a question, by the way, to ask Lacey, my wife, what are the wives' favorite tournaments? And we realized through her list that it's just really all of them were on the West Coast because of the weather. So like, it's a horrible list. It's all the ones that you would think: LA, Napa, San Diego, Waste Management. And she did say that she likes the Kapalua event because that means we won. So that was pretty fair. She says the majors she likes, but they're too nerve wracking. And she did say she likes anywhere in the Northeast, but didn't really get a specific tournament. She said that LA is because you can go shopping there and it's like fun. Napa, because you can drink wine on a tour as people do. And San Diego, it's always nice out. Waste Management, she said, it's a people watching tournament. So if there are any wives out there, that's your list. That's what she enjoys about those events.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. Have you done Harbortown non-pandemic year? I don't think you even played it this year, but have you done Harbortown ever with her?
Is that Hilton Head?
Yeah.
Yeah, I played this year. She couldn't come, though. It was our second event after COVID, so they weren't allowing anybody there. So she's never been.
I've heard that's 100 for the wives. I heard they do a great job of that. I want to ask you about three things about the upcoming year. One is, do you mind if you could lay out what your schedule looks like for the early part of 2021? How far ahead do you go when you're kind of putting together what you're going to play in?
I've like gone up to the first major because if I get into the Masters, I don't want to, not that it matters, but so basically like I've planned through most of like Florida. So 3 months.
Yeah. What do you
got? So I'm playing all of the West Coast after Sony. So Palm Springs, San Diego, Waste Management, Pebble, then LA. And then I'm playing the Arnold Palmer Invitational presented by MasterCard. Presented by MasterCard. And
wait a minute. Is there any reason you threw that in? Or
just, I don't know. Just a big fan. I just really like it. And then the Players Championship. Presented by the PGA. Presented by you know, Commissioner Monahan. I went through about then because it's like tough. Like, it's a bit of a long shot at this point, but I want to, like, if I'm in the WGCs and whatnot, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to play the WGC Mexico in Mexico, by the way. It might be somewhere else. So, but regardless, I don't want to have to mix it all around if I do happen to get into those, which would be a good problem to have. But
with so much time kind of between your last event and your first event you're playing in 21, I talked to you and you've spent time practicing, you do all the processes and you have a new swing coach and a new coach in general who you've been working with. I mean, how is it when you're looking at your schedule on a week, say, let's say the week before Christmas, right? And you know, it's a month or 6 weeks out from when you're going to tee it up in a tournament. How much time are you spending, you know, on the range, really grinding? How much time are you spending, you know, playing and getting out on a golf course and seeing what's working when you're actually, you know, maybe you have a $20 Nassau or something going on? I mean, do you feel like there's times you can over prepare that far out?
Yeah, I've always tried to do like the same type of off season stuff. I think it's worked pretty well. I've typically played okay on like when we start back up on the West Coast. So it could be coincidence, but I don't like taking a lot of time off of golf. I did take a little bit off, but I try to play a lot and have fun a lot, and then I picked a day where I like need to kick it into gear, like range wise. So like tomorrow, I did work yesterday or 2 days ago with Mark via FaceTime. So like I did have like a nice range session, but like tomorrow I'll start grinding. But I'm kind of like in the camp you reference where I feel like you could overdo it. You know, if it's 5 weeks out, it's hard to get in the mindset of you're just going to bang balls all day because so much can happen in between, whether it's with your golf swing or your stroke or something. So I try and stay sharp by playing and then go to the range. You know, like I said, tomorrow will be my first like, okay, I'm getting ready for this season, more like of a tactical approach to it. You know, like I'm really going to work on specific things in my game. But it kind of helps for me to play a lot of golf first, because now I know the areas that aren't like naturally great, where you're like, oh yeah, you know, my wedge shot, when I don't practice a lot, it tends to do X. And you're like, okay, I can go work on that. So it's kind of like that. But some people take like a month off and like don't touch it, and then they come back full ready. And I kind of do it in between. I like playing golf, but I also said like, I'm going to let myself have as much fun as I can playing golf, you know, not make it like work. I've had like beers on the golf course, which I don't do, except if it's like this time of year. So like, that's how I kind of take a bit of a break while also not like giving it up. But yeah, so I have basically 3 weeks. Tomorrow I'll have like 2.5 weeks where I'll be full, you know, range, you know, hitting on TrackMan, like going through the full mode of practice. I'll play a little bit, but I'll be much more, I don't know, like in tune with what's going on. For right now, it's just been kind of like, you know, I've been playing really well, so like I haven't really felt the need to, but it's been more like, don't assess too much and like save it for when you get started back up. Everyone's got a different routine. It's pretty crazy when you hear some guys' like off season routine. I mean, it's like, don't touch it for, I think Brooks said that, right? Like, he just doesn't touch it for a while and he comes back and it's fine.
Yeah, I've always thought it's so interesting that there are kind of two avenues for the pro golfer, where the guy either is like you, where they love to play and they want to get out and play even after a good week or a bad week. And then there's some guys that have no interest at all and it's just a job for them. When as a pro golfer, as a PGA Tour player that is a member at places that have other PGA Tour players, what's the process in getting a game on like a Wednesday? I mean, I know you can text your buddies, but if you wanted to get like a game with other dudes that play at your level, is there a process of that at these places, or is it just kind of, you've got to just send a text to one person and then another and another?
Yeah, I guess it's probably more like word of mouth. You get a text. I mean, sometimes like if I'm thinking of it, I'll be like, hey, Chez, you want to play? Like, who should we get for two more? Sometimes you just run into them. Sometimes you just send out a little GIF or a GIF.
Nice.
And just get the ball rolling, maybe a middle finger emoji, like, ooh, bring it on, you know? But yeah, you get your like little squad that like you always play with. So it's almost like everyone's just waiting to be like, hey, what are we doing tomorrow?
Yeah, I just feel like it's probably not as easy maybe as people think it might be. You know, I mean, if you're going to throw something out there, there's also, I mean, you also live in an area that has 500, you know, mini tour players that can go out.
Yeah, we have a lot out here.
1,000 at any point. So it's not like it's hard to find somebody like that. Who have you been playing with? Who have you been kind of focused on the golf course when you had a chance to get out and play?
I did play with Colt 2 days ago. He's actually in one of my flights for the best shot I saw. It wasn't his
Colt
shot.
Knows?
Yeah, Colt knows. It wasn't his shot by any means. But we did an alternate shot on the back where we threw golf balls and you just got paired with whoever. And he got paired with a 5 handicap, our buddy Bob. And He obviously is a 5. He's not a great golfer. They shot in a modified alternate shot for 9 holes.
By the way, easy on the 5 handicaps. Not a good golf.
For an alternate shot game with a pro, that's tough. You know, you could be hitting from anywhere. They modified alternate shot, so you both hit a tee shot and play alternate from in. From there, they shot 31, 5 under. It was crazy. Like, I don't get it. You know, I mean, Franz made 2 or 3 like 20 footers. Colt never misses a fairway, so he hit all the fairways. But they also got to use Bob's drive a couple times, which helped. But it was impressive.
Yeah, that's pretty dirty an alternate shot. Have you been working? I mean, this is the trend that's going to happen, and this is going to be a big talking point for the first few weeks on tour. Have you been screwing around with a long driver? I know a lot of tour players have. And if you have you seen anything that would maybe push you to possibly play it?
I hit Chez's the other day. He's got a 47 that he's trying, and I just grabbed it.
Does it feel weird?
It does. It's not so much at setup. It has like 8 degrees aloft, which is low, and it still launched to the moon. But like, it feels kind of like the club head is like super heavy. Like, it pulls you through the shot a little bit. But I hit two of them. I hit them both really straight, and I hit it super far. I mean, it was wild. The only issue is every time I grab it, like, it's like, oh, I'm gonna smash this one. Like, it feels like you're just like playing like a long drive game. But I think I'm gonna look into it. I mean, well, I've been talking to Mark about it, and he did say, like, I've been driving it really well, and he said, you know, if I keep this up, then it would be more time to like maybe we're not really worried about speed. Like, I've lost a bit of speed in the last month working on new stuff. And it's kind of like the process, I guess, but I've been driving it really well. I actually haven't hit it much shorter because I'm actually hitting it harder with less spin, but I'm swinging it slower. So the idea is to build the speed up and then try that 47 inch route. But right now, just keep like going through like the process of getting a just kind of like a tighter golf swing, I guess. So I want it, but I am curious. I think 50% of the tour is going to have one or try it by like March. I didn't know it. I mean, like I said, I only had two. I didn't notice any difference in the direct, like the accuracy. Now I know it's a super small sample size, but I was surprised that I just grabbed somebody else's driver. Like it's not my specs, and I smashed it like high and straight. And it'll be interesting, you know. I don't know what everyone's plan is, but I know a bunch of people have gotten one. I'm gonna get one at some point. Once, like I said, we kind of map out the plan, but I'm gonna get one and give it a shot. But yeah, you should, like, we have to get, the issue is I can't just grab one. Like, you have to get fit for it because it is different. Like I said, that 8-degree driver I had is still launches way too high. I mean, it was up to the moon, but it didn't have a lot of spin. So it's okay, but you need to like figure it out. I've heard people going and getting trying one that wasn't fit, and it's bad. I mean, relatively speaking, like for a professional golfer, like it doesn't feel right. So, but yeah, dude, it's going to be wild. Like, this season's going to be crazy. I was talking to somebody about it yesterday. I think Skovran, and we were just like, I was just amazed nobody's really tried this before. Like, this, Bryson does a lot of things that are like, he has to think outside the box, like whatever, do like get the idea. This one seems like very in your face. Like, why haven't you, like, why haven't we tried this before? It's weird.
I know, going back to like the Killer Bee driver. Were you around for the Killer Bee driver?
Is this a Beyonce thing?
I wish it was like a four. It must have been, there's the 4 or 5, you know, there's that weird 4 or 5 year window between our ages where maybe it just missed you. But the Killer Bee was this driver that came out, and it was 47, 48 inches. You know, I mean,
yeah,
this was with a spinny ball, like the Tour Professional and stuff. But I remember that company tried it. But it's such a great point. I mean, and Mac O'Grady did it. Like, a lot of guys have done this, and players have tried little tinkering things. But it's wild that it took one guy having major championship success. I don't think if he wins the U.S. Open, you know, maybe this doesn't happen. I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that he's leading the PGA Tour in driving distance could be just as enough reason to try it. But I mean, you're saying 50% of the PGA Tour could put it in play or think about putting it in play. You know, you get to the year's end and 85% of the tour now are people like me using that, because I feel like for the everyday golfer, a longer driver would just mean you're spraying it even more.
Yeah, it's honestly, it'll be interesting. Yeah, for the equipment, on the equipment side for sales. But yeah, obviously Bryson's had success with it. I think also the difference is right now we're seeing a huge distance boom. I mean, whether that's through technology mixed with like people are taking the game of golf much more seriously as far as like training and more athletes, I guess, quote unquote, are coming out to the sport. Two things though that you just remind me of that people should look up. Look up Hank Keeney's driving average. This was years ago. They always do the thing like, if Jack Nicklaus played in today's game, he did his driver 390 yards. And you're like, no way. Like, I mean, I'm not saying he wouldn't bomb it, but like, he's not going to be 60 yards past some of these guys. Well, Hank Keeney would be, because he had like the equipment just like, I think he had a Pro V1, but he did not have the big drivers, and he averaged 320 or something like that off the tee for a season. I mean, that's crazy. I couldn't imagine what he'd do now. And then
in like 2000,
I mean, that's crazy. That's when 300 yards was a bomb. And the other one I want people to look up for your, I could honestly tell stories about the entire podcast, but I won't, but look up stories about Mac O'Grady. There's some of them are a little, I think they're like myths now, but there's some that are real. I think he once signed up for a U.S. Open qualifier, missed it righty, and then signed up left-handed and played. Like, he's just as good right and left-handed. I mean, you got to find some stories about him, because he's got it all.
Yeah, I urge you to go listen. The Shotgun Start did a big dive on Mac O'Grady.
Oh, did they? I need to listen.
Like a 2-hour podcast. And yeah, I mean, he's like a scratch lefty. Do you remember when, I mean, you might not remember this, but do you remember when they used to have the Skills Challenge?
Yeah.
It was peak VJ. It was like peak ball.
Mark McGuire was in it.
Was he really in the Skills Challenge?
Yeah, it was random.
And VJ wrapped up the last shot with short iron. And if he had it, he had hit it inside of 3 feet, and he hit his first one inside of 3 feet. And I think it was Mike Weir. He grabbed Weir's wedge and hit it lefty and almost made it for a one. And you're just like, how are you this amazing? I think I've told you the story. I was at the TaylorMade facility years ago, and I was hitting on one side of the range. And this fellow, I don't know what ended up happening with his career, Dustin Johnson, he was on the other side of the range hitting. And I had the lefty. It was like when the R11 came out, the white R11. And we had this thing set up where he was going to try to hit my driver lefty. He comes over. He hits one, kind of heals it, you know, kind of hits like what we all do, which is that slap cut, right? It's all arms, no body. And you can see him kind of messing with it. He hits the next one, same thing, kind of slap cuts it a little bit better. Hits the next one, 275 in San Diego. And you're like, and he just gives it back to me. And I'm like, how many times have you done that? He's like, oh, not that much. I'm never. I'm like, sweet.
I have like two trick shots that I would do if someone were like, do you have a trick shot, golf shot or whatever? One of them is this thing in the bunker. It makes the ball spin a ton. But the second one is I used to.
Let's hear what you do. What do you do? Is you pinch the sand?
So you put two golf balls touching together, like back to back, and you hit the back one like square, not like a bunker shot. Like you hit it and the first ball shoots, like make sure there's a lip, but it just goes into the lip. But the other ball that you hit goes straight up in the air with tons of spin, lands on the green. And like I've had it back at TPC Valencia when I was a kid. I got one to spin like the green. If anyone's been there, the green on the right side is like 90 feet and I've landed it on the back and spun it back into the bunker. It's crazy. So like I have that. And then I used to in college, I was really good at not really good, but I was good at hitting a golf ball from my knees, like a driver, like I could smash it. And so I had to do this video shoot the other day for something. And we were at the golf course and they're like, hey, they're asking if you have any trick shots. And I tell them about the bunker one. We do that. And then I told them that I could hit a golf ball off my knees. And I forgot for a moment that I'm 30 and I haven't done this in like 8 years. And I get down there and at first, like getting down there was hard, but I'm like over it. And I'm like, God, like it's like, this does not feel like it used to. And I swing and I just drop kick the hell out of it. Took a chunk out of the ground, hit the ball, like just top spun, maybe went like, you know, 60 yards low left. And the guy doing the shoot, like laughed and I laughed. And I was like, I told him before, I said, I'm only doing this one time. And he gave me the look like, okay, you're going to try again, right? And I gave him the look like, I'm not doing that again. Like that's this, I didn't feel good. And I don't think I'm just going to find it on the second swing. So it was bad. But so, you know, that's I think European Tour just did like a off your knees challenge. But yeah, I'm imagining Dustin could do that lefty and righty from the knees. I mean, some people have it all, man.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, there's a couple of people we're looking at as guests for the show that are in sports or athletes or whatever. And you look up their gin and you're like, you're a two? Like, really?
Yeah, why are you, how can you be good at everything?
Like a 20 at handy, you can't be a 20 handicap at golf. That's one of those things. Dude, you know what is the one thing I think, to your point about hitting on your knees and not having done it in 20 years or 15 years or whatever? You know what the one place that the moment you get onto it, you realize, oh, I'm not a kid anymore? Is a trampoline.
I was just about to say, I saw somebody at one of those trampoline indoor places and I saw them post a picture. I'm like, that looks like fun, but I guarantee you get there and you're like, this is not how I remember it.
Just like, you know, my sister and I were talking about this the other day. She's like, I used to do like fulls and double backflips and stuff. And now you jump like four times and your head kind of hurts, you know, and I'm just going to get off. I'm fine. The ground's good for me. The trampoline, not for, I'd say about 30 years old is about when you can cut it off. So bad news for you, buddy.
Bad news. I'm out. We had a trampoline growing up and I did the dumb thing and pulled my basketball hoop right next to it. And I can't tell you how many times, and this would actually explains a lot about me, but I playing like defense, jumping as high as you can and just forgetting that it's right above your head and just smoking the top of my head. I mean, I've hit my head so many times on that rim and never thought, oh, let's just not play basketball on trampoline. Like it's not that fun.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. I wanted to ask you about something you did in 2020 that we have not talked about yet. and people listening are going to be excited to hear the HOMA thoughts on Bandon Dunes. Which you did it a couple months ago, and we've been kind of waiting for the perfect time to talk about it. You have seen a lot of places in this great land and outside of the U.S. You've played some unbelievable golf courses. I want to start with what you thought Bandon was going to be like and where it landed when you left.
Yeah, it's been hard not talking about it because it was such a fun even people now still bring up the fun running, long running joke about how, you know, people have been to Bandit. It's the first thing they talk about. I fortunately kept it under wraps for this because I'm a media guy and we needed content.
Yeah, pro.
It was awesome, man. Like, I get it. I get why everybody reps it. It was so cool. Like the first thing when we left was just like, I can't wait to come back. We didn't get them all in, but we got to play a bunch of them. Bandon Dunes, Pack Dunes, Sheep Ranch, and the Par 3.
Preserve.
And where else did we play? We played one more. I'm blanking.
You guys play Old Mac?
Oh, and Old Mac. Thank you. So it was so much fun. Like it's breathtakingly beautiful, but the golf is epic. I mean, it was really, really cold, like really, really cold. So it played really long in the first, you know, few holes every day, which was fun. And then as the day got on, we got lucky with the wind. There was like no wind. So I feel like we didn't get the full experience as far as that goes. We were honestly like the best weather you could have for a trip. And, but it was like, it was so sick. It was weird, obviously, with the COVID, like you couldn't really eat anywhere. So we just ate at the cabin, but, I mean, it's stupid that the Par 3 course, the Preserve, like you could, like, I think five of those holes, you could stick onto a golf course, like a regular golf course. And you'd say that might be like the best Par 3 I've played, you know. It's just, it's crazy. Like the place has it going on. They figured it out. I would like to play trails next time. Everyone talks about that. But, I left there and not even left. Like the first time we saw the first hole at Bandon, I was like, I kind of get why everybody reps this place. Cause to me it was, you know, Pebble is beautiful. Pebble is one of my favorite places on the planet. You know, or that area, Monterey. But like, this was different. This was, it reminded me of like 16 at Cypress Point. Cause you're kind of like, you can't see homes. You're like on your own. And that's what Bandon Dunes have. But like the entire property was like that. I mean, like you feel like you're isolated on this like golf trip. It was so sick.
You were a big Pacific guy, right? That was
yours. Yeah, it's my favorite course in the world.
In the world.
Yeah, it's my favorite I played. Loved it. I realize I haven't been to Europe. I've never lived on the East Coast, so I've never been able to make it to Europe.
It's too far.
Yeah, it's just more than a jaunt. And but I've always thought that if I could play, obviously, any type of like European style golf, but Irish golf always like catches my eye. When I watched Rahm, I think last year, 2 years ago, won the Irish Open. And I just remember watching, being like, that style of golf looks fun. It's got the chaos type that I like, where there's just hills in the middle of fairways. And so I think that Bandon Dunes and Pack Dunes were my two favorite golf courses. But I think the aesthetic of Pack Dunes with the gorse is what got me. Like, I think that's why I like Irish golf, just to my eye. It was a little bit harder with the gorse, which I liked because Bandon's kind of easy, but it's so fun. I don't know. Like they're both, we've been talking about it. Like they keep flipping back and forth, which one it was, you know, or some of us are like flipping back and forth, and I can flip back and forth to how much more I like Bandon than I thought, like than I even like let on, but I still think Pack Dunes would be my favorite. I freaking loved it. Sheep Ranch was awesome. I don't think the golf course is great, but it is like the most stunning place I have ever been. Like that was the reveal after you walk out down the fairway on one was just like Spyglass, but like 10 times better. It was nuts. That place is crazy. We didn't get to finish all the holes there, but we played most of them. It's a crazy place, but yeah, I think Pack Dunes because of the gorse, and the only issue with Pack Dunes has the worst finishing hole on property. And it's just like, it was such an awesome course all day. And then we got to 18. I'm like, God, I hate when they end not well, because like Bandon's 18 is sick and Pack Dunes is just kind of like, I don't know. It's like one of the worst holes we played on the trip. I mean, it's still a cool hole, but the golf course is, I mean, it's that I like it that much that even though 18 was not my favorite, and I still liked that the most. I love that course.
Yeah. I think there used to be a back tee that was even further back on
18. Yeah, it's crazy.
That was like 660, which you could, for like you could be driver and be short of that bunker on the right.
Yeah, I mean, wider.
Now from the up tee, it's pretty probably, I mean, it might not even be 3-wood, right? I mean, if you've got any help, if it's into, it's not that bad. But if it's helping, there's just nowhere to really hit that tee shot. But again, I mean, these are like complaining about, you know, amazing golf holes on this planet Earth. So it's like, oh, I don't know which hole I don't like at Augusta. You're like, they're all pretty good. You're
I felt bad complaining.
No, so you're good.
I said, we haven't really talked about this yet. And I just need to know the rules. Do we rank our favorite holes on this podcast like now or the next one? Like when do we start ranking everything? Because that's what I hear you're supposed to do at Bandy. You have to rank everything.
All the holes?
All the holes, the courses, what your favorite drink was, what was your favorite who was your favorite employee, favorite tea box. I think you just rank stuff at Bain. Every time you bring it up to somebody, oh, what's your favorite course? Oh, yeah, what's your favorite hole on that course? What's your top 10 favorite holes at Bain? That's what everybody does.
All I ever ask is, which one did you like the most? And you unfortunately didn't get a chance to play Trails, but we'll have to do that again when we go.
That's everyone's favorite, they say.
Well, it's my Bandon Trails is my favorite walk in the world. I mean, I just love you talk about seclusion and feeling like you're all alone. I mean, that walk back there on 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 is an awesome walk. But I mean, you're also like splitting hairs when you talk about the walk at like 13 to Pacific, you know, it's like
yeah.
A pretty good walk as well. When you're literally walking it next to the ocean as you're playing.
That hole's awesome amazing. Hardcore. My gosh. What was I going to say? I blanked on it. Oh no, I was going to say something. Oh, I liked playing Bandon, especially after the USAM, because I could like picture the tournament. I think that's like, again, like the allure of PGA Tour golf is like, it's just fun being on a place you've seen on TV and you know where people hit shots from. It just makes you like connect with it more. It's kind of a cool golf, just like why I think golf thrives so much, especially on like, even though a lot of PGA Tour courses aren't probably even the best course in that state or sometimes the city, but it's still more fun to go play that one. Like I don't think that TBC Scottsdale is like a lovely golf course. It's a fun tournament. The course, like I like playing it because it suits me, but like I don't think that it would knock your socks off. But you go there because you can picture like, oh yeah, like especially when the stands are up, you're like, oh man, this is 16. You could like you get all like the feels out of it. So I think that's the cool part about playing like Bandon is, you know, it's a famous golf course that I could connect to.
Yeah, I was going to bring up, TPC Scottsdale too. It's, you know, if I was listing out places to go play in Scottsdale, it probably is not going to make my list. That being said, if you're a golf fan, you want to play
would love it.
A final four hole stretch, right? I mean, that you know, you go 15, 16, 17, 18. It's, I contend that I think TPC Scottsdale might have the most exciting back nine on the PGA Tour, you know, considering some of those holes. So I'm in agreement with you. Max, I got some flights for you. I've got a great, good idea that I actually think I could see you implementing in your life. It's only for professional golfers, though, so that's why it's specific to you. Okay.
Yep.
So I was thinking about golfers getting angry. We've all gotten angry before. I mean, most regular human beings have gotten angry on the golf course. And I was thinking about the aesthetic of a pro golfer throwing a golf club, which happens a lot. I mean, the best players in the world have thrown a golf club.
Matt Every is the best at it.
Is he great? What does he go? Does he helicopter?
He goes above, kind of side above, like he's pitching. He actually started a clothing company, and the logo is him throwing the club. I mean, he can chuck it. Go ahead.
Like 100 yards?
Like probably close.
Man, what a good, this, hey, you know what? Everybody, PGA Tour, European Tour, Corn Ferry, whomever, I feel like this is a viral video waiting to happen. Let's see which Which pro golfer can chunk it the furthest? Let's see.
I think Every's probably been on TV doing it, maybe, but he would be I would put my stock in him.
So if you have it, let's just say you specifically, you have a meltdown on a hole and you
never
just,
happens.
You chunk your five iron. Yeah. I mean, you're always even kill 5 out of 10 every time. But let's just say, for instance, something happens, you know, maybe some, you know, girl yells as you're putting on the last hole
Goose.
Or something.
so I can just throw it at her.
That actually would be acceptable. But you have a temper tantrum charity fund of a certain amount, $10,000. And you figure out if it's the Boys and Girls Club or, you know, the Children's Hospital in the city or whatever, wherever the city is that you throw this club, and you have to get caught on TV. This isn't just you being mad. It's got to be you doing this on television. So then everybody's like, oh, did you see Rory throw his five iron in the water? But it's all of a sudden now you having a temper just made $10,000 to the Children's Hospital of Portland or whatever. So then you turn a negative in an idiotic move into a positive. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going to switch it around a little bit. What if like I was the commissioner of this like venture and everyone on tour knows it. We make like a, you know, we put hand out flyers or something. I don't know how you get word out to people these days,
but definitely like, flyers in 2021.
That's like a good idea.
Like the way to go.
And anytime you could sign up for it, anytime I catch you throwing something or slamming something or having a type of fit, I can come over and get $100 for you that I will like, that we'd all donate. And I'll like keep a, like a swear jar. I'll like keep it around, but I'm like, we like have to keep each other in check.
Oh, you keep each other accountable. So
yeah, like, hey, Matt, I saw you throw the club $100, and he's like, damn, but it's like for charity and it's like a good thing. And it's a funny, you know, it'd be, it's like a funny year long idea.
All right. So let's play a scenario for a minute, Max. So you, you get paired the third round with Tiger Woods. Okay. And we're at Pebble and Tiger hits a bad shot and throws his 8-iron in the ocean. So you're going to walk over, it's a long, that's an every throw. You're going to walk over and go, hey, hey, Tiger, just wanted to remind you that's $100 in the charity thing. Or you could wait. I mean, I guess
would 100%, even if it was Tiger, I would 100% wait till the round was over. But I also have to check to make sure that he signed up, because I'm not going to make people sign up. So like if he signs up to be part of the squad that's helping the world, then yeah, after the round, I'd say, Tiger, it was great playing with you. I need a hundy.
You gotta do it. Venmo it or however.
And then he probably says, I don't even, you know how like rich people say like, oh, I don't even carry 20s. He might be rich enough to say, I don't even carry 100s.
Yeah. Like, I don't think Bill Murray has a cell phone. I think Bill Murray has a landline and that's it. And so it's like, if you call his house and he answers, and if you don't, then he doesn't. Maybe that's right. That's the famous thing. Here's my dumb idea. So that was actually my good idea. So are you in on it or no?
Oh boy. Sure. I'm in on our new version. I'm not donating $10,000 if I get mad. I will accumulate that over time.
So I just moved to Connecticut from Arizona. Pretty long.
It's on the East Coast.
Yeah, it's over here by Europe. And so basically in Europe. I gotta pay double taxes. So I moved a whole bunch of stuff to Connecticut. Right. And it's in the process of moving. That's why of the air mattress you've heard earlier. And
hey, on this podcast, drink every time you hear Shane say air mattress.
You were not going to make it to the end. So now there has to inevitably somebody in my area now that's moving to Phoenix, right? There has to be. So what if we started a business where you just swap stuff? Where I go, I have an appraiser come over and he goes, all right, you got, you know, $10,000 worth of stuff, and Max is moving from Connecticut to Phoenix, and he's got $11,000 worth of stuff. So I got to pay you a G, and then we just switch crap.
I don't think this is like uncommon. I think people leave their furniture and like purchase it from the people.
I don't think there's a business that just flips your stuff. Like, I have a child. We've got a family of three.
You're going to swap your kid?
Maybe it depends on what the price is, but you know, we'll see what Henry's appraised at. But you're like, if you're moving a whole bunch of stuff and I just look at your stuff on my website, I'm like, okay, he's got a pretty nice couch. He's got a good TV. You know, I mean, whatever. Let's just trade. Like, and then no moving at all. I just move into my place.
You still have to move it, though. You still have to move it a little bit.
Oh, you move it down the street. I mean, you and I can jump at a U-Haul and move it. It takes, you know, 4 hours for us to move stuff from, you know, Johnny's house down the street to my new apartment. And then, you know, then you also have to help the guy in Arizona move as well.
The odds that the person from Connecticut moving to Phoenix at the exact same time you are is small. Now we're adding in that they also live like down the street from you and they're moving to another place that's right down the street from where you lived in Arizona. This is a very specific idea.
I mean, again, this is a dumb idea, but so, okay. Now you bring up some great points, and this is why you and I like to go back and forth with this stuff. So, okay, a few of your points are valid, and it's this is part of the business plan. But I think what you'd wherever the person is within 100 miles of where I live right now, or 200, is still easier to get all their stuff to where I'm living in a matter of hours versus me having to wait, you know, 7, 8, 9 days for my stuff to get moved out to where I'm living. You know what I'm saying? And get unpacked and get uncrated. I have to box everything up. Now you're avoiding all that annoyances. I just feel like there's a chance here, Max. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, there's like I've heard of this thing called Craigslist that is very similar to this idea, but
no, you keep throwing these. This is not Craigslist. What else you got? You throw Facebook at me. It's not Facebook either. This is a new business, a $1 billion idea we're sitting on. Well, you could be a 20% owner in the company if you just said yes, and we'll throw it on the back of your shirt, lower back. You know, that's where the brand goes. And here we go. Now we've got a professional athlete on board.
I have a tramp stamp sponsorship of a company I don't believe in. Do you ever listen to there was a comedian back in the day who did a joke about how he was, you know, driving on the highway right behind a big truck carrying a bunch of logs, and they passed another truck carrying a bunch of logs going the other way, and he was just sitting there thinking, like, I feel like we could have figured this all out with like a phone call and everybody would have their logs they need.
Whoever this comedian is, we got to get him on board. Yeah,
he would be on board.
Seems like he's in. Anyway, that was my dumb idea. Again, just a reminder, I've been alone a lot the last few days. So
this has been good for the content of the good idea, dumb idea.
What do you have fly-wise?
I don't know if I mentioned it last pod. Feel Good Friday, this Barstool fund is unbelievable that Dave Portnoy
is amazing.
$17 million are at. He has pretty much just been coming at people's throats to donate money. Anyone, you know, you could, I've been on the their website, you could put in whatever number you want and just donate, and they keep a ticker. It's going directly to small businesses, and that, you know, obviously in this tough time for small businesses, they've saved, like, literally brought back, I don't know, like dozens, if not more. Well, I guess you can't be more than dozens because it's plural, so it could be as high a number ever. So yeah, I'll say dozens. That's safe. Businesses, and like literally, like they're gonna fund them until they get back on their feet. And it's been incredible. He's been posting the videos of him FaceTiming the people to tell them, and they're like heartwarming. I mean, you like almost cry in all of them. It's really, really cool. It's been an interesting way in which he's doing it. He's literally like front streeting you on the internet. Like, hey, donate, you have money, like don't not donate. But I mean, at the same time, it's working. I feel like he's doing a better job that at least for raising money than a lot of other people. And it's been cool to watch. I mean, $17 million is crazy. I remember when it hit like two, I was amazed that people were that into it. And I mean, it's just been going and going and going. So it's nice seeing people helping people.
If only you had a podcast co-host that had just presented a charity idea that, I mean, I'm not saying we could raise $17 million with our golf club throwing idea, but you know, I mean, people get mad on the golf course a lot. I'm just saying, you know,
throwing a, yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah. I don't know how many. So the PGA Tour already does this. If you get fined, the money goes to charity.
Oh,
so,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so.
So they kind of stole my, the PGA Tour kind of had my idea before me. All right, that's
yeah.
Great. I have a Feel Good Friday.
What is it? Your family's coming?
Well, that's, let me just say, never been more excited to see three heartbeats in my entire life. So my family's coming. Actually, this leads right into my Feel Good Friday. My family's on their way out here in just a matter of minutes on the flight. I got a frantic call from my lovely wife yesterday. You know, I mean, God loves Cindy. She's had to do so much stuff back home as I was driving out here. She had to finish packing, a whole bunch of just annoying stuff that comes with moving. This is why this business should exist. And so I had a frantic call from her last night. And I, being the guy that booked the flights for my wife and my son, failed to book Harlow, our dog, as a pet. And you have to do that when you fly. Do you guys, I mean, that's how you kind of do it.
Yeah.
You gotta, like, put in for it or whatever. And it costs like $75 and you, whatever. So there were no more pet spots on the flight, and there were no more spots for days on these flights. So I call American and I get a lady named Beth Nichols. Now, not Beth Ann Nichols of Golf Week, who does an amazing job writing about all of golf, especially the LPGA Tour. This is Beth Nichols at American Airlines out of DFW. She helped me figure this out in a matter of minutes. She got Harlow on the plane. There were the canceled tickets, and the pets don't get canceled. So there's these pets on the flights, and they're actually not going to be on the flights because the person already canceled their entire trip already. And this is how she figured it out. But anyway, you know, you call places, Max. I don't know how often you call a customer service spot that much, but I feel like 90% of the time you get somebody that is just either not willing to help or can't help you. And actually run into somebody that was this willing to help and knew the solution right away. I went out, was like doing spins in the street outside my apartment. It was a lovely moment. So tonight, Harlow will be in Connecticut. Thank the good Lord for Beth Nichols.
Shout out to Beth. That's customer service, not a fun phone call. Ever since my mom stopped working at her second job, I'd like pay her each year, like to compensate for it basically. And now, so she's like, quote unquote, like my employee. And I like saying that because, it's just cool.
Right.
And, but anytime I have to do something that is just like, it's like that. It's like calling customer service or like calling a credit card company that I just don't like doing. I don't like sitting there and pressing 100 times. I don't like yelling for, you know, a person. Like, I don't like being on the phone. So I just tell her now, it's like, hey, you need to call, blah, 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 please. I was like, please call my bank and do it's the easiest thing in the world. I just hate it. And it's all because the customer service stuff sucks. Like you said, most of the time they can't even do it. And even when they do it, it feels like they don't want to do it. And you're like, I don't want to call you either. Like, I wish this wasn't happening.
And that's such a great point. Like, I don't want to be on the phone. Like, I would prefer this not to be an issue. So if I'm calling you, it's because the best way for you not to hear from me ever again is to fix it or to give me a solution that'll fix it, right? Or I'm going to be forced to continue to call. I'm with you. I have a couple more. I want to just give a couple shout outs. One to my dad, Monty B, drove with me from East Texas to Connecticut. It was like 22 hours. He was great. He had his road atlas, like not the one on your phone. He actually brought a road atlas. He got his Christmas present. He was nose deep into it, which was obviously very entertaining. But having someone ride with you versus riding alone there's no debate. It is way better having a person in the car that can drive for 5 hours and can talk to you about stuff, and you can just bounce all the dumb ideas that I bounce off of you at.
He must love that.
So shout out to my dad and shout out to my my mother-in-law, Becky, who is flying out with Cindy and the crew right now and has been super helpful. I mean, it's having good in-laws, Max, you have no idea when you first start dating somebody how important the people in their life, especially in their close circle, will actually be in your life. You know, so when you meet somebody that has, you know, good parents and good siblings and stability around them, and they're helpful and they're nice, it is a double lottery winner, right? Especially, you know, if you like the person you're with. So shout out to Becky. Awesome. Thank you so much for the help. Moving forces people to help other people. And it does. And that has been really nice. So those are my two Feel Good Fridays.
Yeah, the good in-laws is something you don't think of, but it is important. My first time I met Lacey's parents, it was like we ended up having a fun night. I knew I was going to like her dad right away because he was drinking a Bud Light in the pool. And like, just, I love Bud Light. So it's the classiest beer there is. So, but yeah, that night, it was funny. That night, I didn't really like drink very much. But he was like, stay the night. And I said, this is the first time I met you. I'm not staying the night over at your house the first time I meet you with your daughter. Like, it just, like I said, that's not a classy move. Drinking a Bud Light, classy. Staying over the first time, not classy.
No.
So I said, I got to leave. And he was trying to convince me. And finally, I told him, I was like, I'm leaving tonight. Like, I'll just leave late. And he's like, okay. And he's like, well, take this Monster energy drink. It's one of those big cans. So I put it in my car. I wasn't going to drink it, but I put it in my car and I'm driving. And there's one part where you have to go like over, you can take like a shortcut and you go over this, like, it's called the Ortega. It's a little kind of like mountain, and you could take it and it kind of cuts through across the city, easier to get west. So I'm driving and you go up pretty high up this mountain, and I'm kind of like, it's very, very dark in this road. The road's super sketchy and it's very dark. And I'm not saying I'm getting tired, but like, you're kind of bored, spacing out a little bit. Well, I hear the loudest explosion, pop, whatever. The Monster got to the pressure from going up, made it explode. It shot up and hit my ceiling of my car. And I never took a sip of the Monster, but it gave me more energy than you could possibly imagine. My heart was going so fast that I hit somebody, and I was just sticky from the Monster energy.
So the true test of a Red Bull is just to blow it up in your car and see how you feel.
See how it goes. Yeah. There's my in-law story.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. I've got a worst thing I've heard this week. When you relocate, or when, you know, anything in your life changes, you get a lot of messages. You get a lot of, I'm going to call it advice. I don't think I'd consider it advice, but you also just get a lot of negativity. You know, you'll get people complaining about where they live, telling you you're going to miss where you live, telling you all the bad things about where you're going to be, all those things. I mean, oh, the taxes, you know, you get all that stuff. It's like, I'm moving here, you know, like, I mean, I'm here. So, I mean, I'm excited about it. I got a new job. I'm fired up for the job. Like, You can't drag me down with your negativity. This was the best one I got, though, and it actually made me LOL, and I had to send it to some people. So I posted a picture my first day of work. I posted a picture on Instagram, and it was just me kind of in front of the NBC Sports building, right? And, you know, my hair looked pretty good. I'd fixed it. I'd spent a little bit of time on it. Looked coiffed. A guy sent me a message. He said, "Hair is on point. It will thin out in this Northeast city water. Wait and see."
Oh, that's negative.
just hitting you with the
that's
water.
Tough.
It's the water in this area that's going to ruin my hair. Maybe not the fact that this guy moved here and then just got older. And when you get older, typically your hair could thin out as well.
I've heard age does that. I've gone through a bit of a East Coast water on my hair situation that I'm not happy about. Saw a picture the other day and it's just getting thin.
What are you attacking it with any? Are you doing anything to kind of combat it at all?
I'm fighting, man. I'm fighting, but
any like find a medicine or maybe some like vitamins every day or, you know, I mean, going down the, you know, I mean, I don't even know if Rogaine is still the thing people do, but have you thought any path there?
I've thought of them. I got a call. I think Zach Johnson or somebody did something. Somebody went and got hair, something like a plug. I don't know. Right now, I'm going the Steve Jobs route, just all natural. Just trying to.
I like
will my hair to grow thicker. It hasn't worked yet.
You need to somehow get famous enough to where you could send LeBron James a note and it not be uncomfortable, and you could be like, "Hey, LeBron, man, big fan. I got a question. How do you have it keep coming down this way? It's coming forward, bro. I don't understand how that's the deal." You could also go Carlos Boozer, Max. You could also go the Boozer route.
Just paint it.
Yeah, Sharpie. Get the Sharpie.
Can you ask your hair friend how far west I have to go where the shower water will actually help grow my hair?
Let me ask this dude. I'm sure from his single message to me in the history of our interaction, I'm sure he'll give some great advice on that. Oh no, you don't want to go to California. It's got hard water too. never understood the people that are obsessed with water. What else you got?
Kelly Oubre had the craziest stat I saw going for a while. He was 0-39 from shots outside of 3 feet or 5 feet for a while. Like, I still don't know if he's made one.
Have you been watching any Suns basketball?
5-1, best record in the NBA. Pretty amazing.
I think they're 13-1 with no fans. If it was a regular year, where would you be now on possibly like a season ticket dip?
No shot, but I will always go when the Lakers come to town. But I would say this, I would go more so to their games even if the Lakers weren't in town. Like, I only go to Suns games to watch the team coming typically to town. Now I'd actually go watch the team from here.
I think I told you this story. I think I told you when we went to the Suns game, whatever my birthday was last year, year before last, whatever it was. And a friend of mine, Hector, worked for the Suns, a great guy. And we got hooked up with these awesome tickets one day to a game against the Grizzlies. And our entire group bet the Grizzlies.
Yes.
And Dragic was on the team at the time, and he hits this floater, buzzer beater floater to win. And my buddy that got us the ticket said, he looked around, he looked over to where we were. We were the only people in the crowd not cheering. And he goes, "Hey, if I give you guys free Suns tickets, especially if they're good, you have to bet on the team here. You can't fade at the Suns." And I was like, you know what? That's an extremely fair point.
Kosher policy. You got to
for sure.
You got to rep the free ticket guy. You got to at least make him look good.
Yeah. And I have my last thing for you, and then we'll go. Obviously, the NFL playoffs are about to start here. You've got some interest in them with your pro-am partner, Pebble Beach, and Aaron Rodgers, you know, being the one seed with the pack and all that stuff. If they make the Super Bowl, what is your backup plan for a partner?
That's a great question.
I don't know how long the flight is, but I mean, you know, I'm just saying.
That'd be actually awesome is I'll get him to give me the number of whoever he just beat, and then I'll call that quarterback and say, "Hey, are you free?"
That would exactly.
Because he would like that, because it would be like a slap in their face, you know, like, "Hey, Aaron just beat you. I know you're free."
That would be
actually not a bad idea.
I don't think he would. The quarterback that you text that to would respond. I don't know if you'd be on like really good terms with that person. But if nothing else, it would be an unbelievable.
If they did respond and say yes, I think we'd just be like best friends forever. If somebody could take that joke well,
yeah, that's the key. Well, for everybody, please, if you could, DVR and watch Golf Today Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Just DVR the whole thing. Golf Today, the one without the avatar, could change as things tend to do here. But we're fired up for it. It's going to be exciting, Max. I don't know when I'm going to bug you to come on. I mean, it probably doesn't make sense to make you come on until you're playing. So maybe I'll bug you then to come on the show. I mean, are you going to big time me? Are you going to make me go through your agent?
I'm pretty sure I'm busy that day that you're
okay,
thinking
perfect.
Of.
It was a Wednesday, wasn't it? It was a Wednesday. Who was it? It was Jay and Dan, the guys in Canada, did the Sports Center. They used to have that show on FS1 that was awesome. And they do the Canadian Sports Center. Dan wore the same jacket for like 60 shows in a row just to see if anybody would ever notice, and nobody ever did. What do you think? How long do people would notice if you just came on like 7 shows in a row? It's like, we got Max Homa on here.
Just sit in.
Third or fourth show in, they'd be like, dude, I heard all this stuff Max has got. We're good. We've exhausted this.
Yeah, I think it only honestly takes like a day and all my stuff is done. All I know is the PGA Tour trolled me with I was asking for a highlight tape of myself, and they sent me all of my highlights from like my entire career. And then somebody made the best joke, which is what I was thinking too, is it's only like 20 minutes long. Like, it's just, I have not had a lot of shots with tons of success going yet. But yeah, hey, I mean, I'm looking forward to watching the show. It's Monday? What's today? Yeah. Saturday? Where this will drop on Sunday. All right, cool. So we're close.
No. We'll drop this on Monday. We'll do Monday morning, the podcast. So watch on Monday.
So watch today.
Yeah, watch golf today and continue to watch. And I also am one of those people that if you have feedback on the show, I mean, as long as it's not about my thinning East Coast hair, send it in. I mean, you know, send us stuff that you like and that you don't like. Max, I know you've presented some ideas that we're going to implement on the show over the years. We've done this podcast for a year, but over the months, I guess, of doing this show, and some stuff I think is going to be cool. And we'll highlight, you know, some players outside of the top 10 and 15 in the world that we talk a lot about, as we should, because they're the best. But I think the professional golf runs a lot deeper than that. And there's so many cool storylines out there in that capacity. So that's what we're going to try to hit on. Outside of, you know, talking about Dustin Johnson going on a run of what he's done lately. But Dustin Johnson's 100 under par his last 8 events, by the way, Max. Or yeah, it's like pretty crazy. That'll do you good if you do that. Have a great week, everybody. Appreciate all the feedback for the show and everything like that. And yeah, you'll see me a little bit later today if you're listening to this on Monday.
The time travel portions of when these we are announcing when the podcast is coming out always hurt my brain. Thanks, everybody. Happy New Year. Shane, even if you're using hair loss water, please wash your hands.
Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.